Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The Western Christian Church celebrated Palm Sunday yesterday. But if you miss the significance of this celebration, there is the potential for a do-over. I say that because Eastern Christianity celebrates Palm Sunday an entire month after. And that's due to the fact that Eastern and Western Christianity have different liturgical calendars. The Western Church follows the Gregorian calendar, a calendar decreed by Pope Gregory the 13th in 1582, while the Eastern Church still follows the older Julian calendar, named, of course, for Julius Caesar, who introduced it in 46 BC. Now, the reasons for the different calendars are very interesting. The Julian calendar is less scientifically accurate in that it doesn't reflect the actual time it takes for the Earth to revolve around the sun. It also inserts a leap year every 4 years, which results in, of course, too many leap years. Now, while there is a revised Julian calendar, which is even more accurate than the Gregorian calendar, most Orthodox Christians continue to follow the old Julian calendar, at least when it comes to Pascha. Now, the primary reason for this is that the Eastern Orthodox Church represents the church of the seven ecumenical councils, the first of which is the Council of Nicaea, which mandated that Pascha chronologically follow the Jewish Passover. Now, there's a reason for that. It's probably due to the fact that the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord took place after he entered Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. At any rate, the East adheres to this mandate. Western Christianity does not. So on occasion, Western Pascha or Easter precedes the Jewish Passover. What really matters for this discussion is that we don't pass by Palm Sunday without regarding its transcendently important spiritual implications. This is an important day on which we commemorate Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I want to read the account in Matthew chapter 21, and I hope you'll read it again and again. This is the account where Jesus sends two disciples. They're at the Mount of Olives. He sends them into the village, and he tells them that they're going to find a donkey tied to a colt. He says, "Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." And all of that was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt. They laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the ground. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." You know, the crowd surrounding Jesus was well aware of his poignant parables. They knew about his powerful preaching, his marvelous miracles, especially the resurrection of Lazarus. Jewish nationalism, of course, was in full throat, and the multitudes were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" They were saying this for a reason. They were weary of Roman occupation. They were anxious. They were stressed. They expectantly urged the miracle-working Messiah to lead a righteous rebellion against their oppressive occupiers. If Jesus could raise the dead, he could just as easily liberate them from the scourge of Rome. He could resurrect the Davidic kingdom, a kingdom torn asunder by Assyrian and Babylonian superpowers. Jesus, however, had not come to usher in an earthly theocratic kingdom. God in human flesh came instead to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. Thus on Palm Sunday, we celebrate Jesus riding into Jerusalem, not as a political Messiah, but rather in humility and peace, in fulfillment of Zechariah's famed prophecy. "Behold, your king comes to you. He is righteous and saving. He is gentle and mounted upon a donkey, even a young foal." Christ's entrance into Jerusalem announced the establishment of the kingdom of God. It was a foretaste of the time that he will gather his perfected bride and carry her over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Christ's message is not one that conveys earthly might, but rather the glorious heavenly reality that the meek shall inherit the earth. In his meekness, the great Prince of Peace enters the eternal city, riding only on a donkey. In the famous icon of Palm Sunday, our Lord is seated on a colt, the foal of a donkey, and with his right hand, he blesses the people, crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And in his left hand, he holds a scroll which symbolizes that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets, the prophets who prophesied the coming of Messiah, the very King who, as the balm of Gilead, redeems us from the scourge of sin and death. The colt he rides alongside the donkey represent faithful Jews alongside Gentiles who pass from unbelief to faith as the one people of God. When we come back from the break, I want to say a bit more about the donkey and the colt that Jesus instructs his disciples to bring to him from the town of Bethpage. This is noteworthy in that skeptics and infidels have seized upon this very passage to designate Matthew's account of Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem as not only absurd, but the stuff of myths and fables. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I do want to thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. By doing so, you're touching the lives of people across this planet. Be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults on sanity have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, you know nothing less than civilization is at stake when ideology trumps reality, or when psychology trumps biology. That's wokeism in a nutshell. The threat is not only critical, it's urgent, which is why Christians need to wake up, and wake up fast. You won't want to miss the special issue of the Christian Research Journal that contains everything you need to know about the cult of wokeism and its impact on Western civilization. You'll read sobering articles with penetrating analysis of the social and mental disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up, and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And as we conclude this special broadcast on our Palm Sunday celebrations, I want to consider one of the many objections that skeptics raise with respect to the veracity of Matthew's gospel. And it has to do with the very passage that I read before the break, the question of how many donkeys Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Because believe it or not, a good number of fundamentalists on the left suppose Matthew has Jesus riding two asses into Jerusalem. Now, if you look into the dictionary, you're going to discover two primary definitions for the word ass. The first is a donkey. The second is, well, it's a vain, self-important, silly, or aggressively stupid person. In reading through the websites attempting to debunk the Bible on the basis of the number of asses Jesus rode into Jerusalem, both definitions immediately spring to mind. One website actually appends the word absurd to Matthew's rendering of Palm Sunday. They call it absurd. This is what the website says. In three of the four accounts of the triumphal entry, Jesus rides a single donkey. Matthew, though, apparently misunderstands the prophecy and rather absurdly has Jesus ride two donkeys. Now, for the sake of plain old common sense, I should note that wherever there are two animals, there is always one animal. If Mark, Luke, and John had stipulated only one donkey while Matthew stated more than one donkey, well, we'd be faced with an obvious contradiction. Instead, the complementary details provided by the four gospel writers serve to flesh out the rest of the story. When St. Matthew spoke of two asses, he did so advisedly, not absurdly. In other words, St. Matthew was using the presence of two animals for a purpose. It was a way of depicting faithful Jews and faithful Gentiles. Together, through the mission and ministry of Jesus, together they became one body. Far from contradictory, the biblical imagery is complex and awe-inspiring. Jesus didn't ride into Jerusalem in a horse and chariot. He didn't come as a conquering king, but he rode on an animal signifying peace and humility. The message is not one that conveys earthly might, but rather one that conveys the heavenly reality that the meek will inherit the earth. While Matthew did say that the disciples placed their cloaks on them and Jesus sat on them, this isn't to say that Jesus rode into Jerusalem sitting on two animals simultaneously, as though his triumphal entry were akin to a clown act. Straightforward reading of the text is that the disciples placed their cloaks on two animals and Jesus sat upon them, meaning that he sat upon the cloaks. But even if the word them is taken to refer to both animals, it would hardly be absurd. When we say that the president rode into Washington in a motorcade, only the most entrenched literalist supposes that he was sitting in multiple vehicles simultaneously. Absurdly, therefore, does not apply to Matthew, but rather to myopic fundamentalists bent on rendering the majestic tapestry of Scripture in wooden, literalistic fashion. And remember that in contrast to spoofers, scholars look for a reliable core set of facts to validate historical narratives. If each of the gospel writers, if each of them presented their accounts in identical fashion, we would quite justifiably wonder about the matter of collusion. Instead, what we have are complementary details that serve as fibers in an unparalleled tapestry. Now, this is important that a good number of modern-day scholars adamantly proclaim that the New Testament contains four different and sometimes contradictory versions of the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let me just cite one of the alleged contradictions, because this is most frequently cited, and it involves the female discoverers of the empty tomb. According to Matthew, it is said the discoverers were Mary Magdalene and another Mary. Mark says that they were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. And then Luke claims Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others. And of course, John focuses solely on Mary Magdalene. Now, if you are to provide a defensible argument against this kind of an assertion, I think it's first helpful to point out that the four accounts are complementary rather than contradictory. They complement one another. You know, if John had stipulated that Mary Magdalene was the only female to discover the empty tomb, and the other Gospels claimed that more than one woman was involved, well, then we would be faced with an obvious contradiction. Instead, the complementary details that the four gospel writers provide simply serve to flesh out, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Credible scholars, they always look for a reliable core set of facts because they're trying to validate historical accounts. So they look at these facts, and that reliable core set validates the accounts. If each of the gospel writers presented exactly the same secondary details in exactly the same manner, well, the critics would dismiss their accounts, and probably quite rightly, on the basis of collusion. But that's not what we have. Instead, the Gospels provide unique yet mutually consistent perspectives on the events that they chronicle. And thus today, a consensus of credible scholars consider the core set of facts presented by the Gospel writers to be authentic, reliable, and the unique perspectives provided by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John preclude the possibility of collusion. I love this from an apologetic standpoint because, again, we're not making an apology, we're making a defense of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And when we talk about something like Palm Sunday, we want to know that what we find in God's Word is historic and evidential. And thus, we hold to the Palm Sunday celebration not in blind faith, but rather faith founded on a refutable fact. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. Well, thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we reminisce on Palm Sunday for those that celebrated it yesterday and look forward to Palm Sunday for Eastern Christians all over the world who will be celebrating it shortly. And of course, after Palm Sunday, we have the greatest of all celebrations, the celebration of Easter or Pascha, when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, which ensures that we too will rise from the dead one day, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Again, thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now."